Well, we're starting a new series this Sunday. This series we are calling the 24/7 Church. And I'm not going to be preaching this Sunday. I look forward to being with you next Sunday and as we're bringing this message of this series. But I've asked Pastor Sanford if he would come at this time and he would open this series for us this morning. So I know that God's placed a word on his heart, and I know it's always an encouragement to our spirits and a blessing to our souls to hear what the Lord speaks through him. So Pastor Sanford, would you come and share the word of God with us today?
Thank you so much, sir. I must have heard 1,000 times or maybe more, and that's not exaggeration, when I was teaching in college and I had the opportunity to pastor for almost 40 years, lead pastor. And as I've been at Trinity, a number of folks have told me, and I didn't know at the beginning if it was a compliment or not, but they would always say, I was able to take the most complex thoughts and bring them down to the most simple, understandable ways. I ask God that that would always be a part of the anointing that I have on my life. I'm looking at a very exhaustive theme, a theme that would take us day after day after day to fully develop. And it would take us the rest of our lives to live in order to understand. It would take us to be masters of discipleship and masters of discipling to understand a simple question: what is the church? What is the church? As I awakened this morning and checking over Facebook, I was praying about this morning, and there was a Facebook from a friend of mine that I taught many, many years ago. And he said, why is it if God has all authority and is over everything, why is he dependent on our authority? I thought it was a good question. And I said, hopefully in this message today, we will understand a little bit more about that. So I ask that you would bow your heads and pray for me as I am praying for you. Father, I thank you for the awesome responsibility and the privilege that I could never deserve, the grace privilege of being able to stand before this august group of hearers this morning. Hearers that are gathered around the world. Hearers that are gathered throughout these United States. And I ask, oh God, that the anointing would be with me and the anointing would be on them. Give me thoughts, give me understanding, give me words to communicate, and give them words to understand. Give them ears to be able to hear. And after all is said and done, may they say in one form or another, I didn't really understand that it was not that complex. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I am so honored to be a part of 24/7 Church. I've been a part of this church for a few decades now, and I'm so excited that God has permitted me to continue to serve under Pastor Joshua Pantuso, a highly educated, a very anointed man of God, a visionary individual, a man who has a vision unlike visions that many pastors have. He is able to discern the times. He is able to understand the future that we possibly have as a church. And I thank God for him, and I thank God for him hearing the word of God and for his visionary eyes. I want to take you back just a bit. And I want to take you to a song that we sung last week on Easter Sunday. It has become my theme song. I listen to this song 1 to 5 to 10 times every single day, and I have since I first heard it a couple of years ago. And this is the words. And when Pastor Josh began to sing with the team last week, if you didn't catch those words, if they happened too quickly, I'd like for you to go back to the Easter program and don't race past anything. Listen to the worship. A song by Andrew Peterson called "Is He Worthy?" Do you feel the world is broken? And then the team would say, "We do." Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you know that you could see all the, do you wish that you could see all the old made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be light within our minds? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of these? It is. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and it's very important that we go there and understand this together. Genesis, chapter 1, when God created the world. In the beginning, God created. He saw that the world was shapeless and formless. And he looked out into the darkness of the universe, and he declared, "I am doing something about it. I am going to establish a community. I am going to establish a community." And as he began to speak in a process of what I believe as a seven-day believer in creation, I believe in just a matter of hours and days, suddenly there was this gorgeous blue marble that began to spin through the universe. God looked at it and said, "It is good." And then he came down into a clay pit as he knelt there and formed man from the very clay and breathed into that man, and man became a living soul. In a little bit of a season, he created woman from a rib that he had taken out of man. And now he had his community. He even wrote an axiom to let us understand that, a matrix that would guide the church from that day forward. The Bible records that in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Or in the New Living Translation, "For where two or three gather as my followers, I am there among them." So he started the church with two. He said that was all that's necessary. And as the two would join together, he joined in the midst of them. How many times he came in the midst of them, I cannot tell you. How long the world existed before Adam and Eve sinned. But Adam and Eve sinned. And when they did, they gave away the title deed of planet Earth. And they gave away the manifesto and the mandate of the church. They gave away the architectural renderings of what the church was going to look like, how it was going to be formed, the infrastructure that was going to be underneath it. They gave it all away. God knew that they did, and he came down and he said, "In the cool of the evening, Adam, where are you?" And I want you to understand, he was not asking that so that he could chasten them. I believe that was his summation of call to worship. Whenever he would come down, "Guys, where are you? It's time to have church." Because where two or more were, he would join in the midst of them. And Adam said, "Things have changed, God. I don't know what happened, but I don't feel it as if it were good." And he looks at Eve. God looks at Eve and said, tell me what happened. And she said, the serpent that you created caused us to do this, to violate the only rule within the kingdom. And God said, I can't allow you to be a part of the community. You are no longer a part of my intimacy. This was the beginning of the ecclesia. The ecclesia that became prominent during Grecian times. And the words literally mean the agency of authority. The group of power that was going to control the government. That was going to control the world. That was really going to be co-controllers of the universe. The ecclesia, the church. And they were tossed out of the garden. And the garden was sealed. And from that day, for many, many years, they became a nomadic people, wandering from here to there. The community no longer had the feel of a church. It no longer had the feeling of a close-knit organization. When we see Adam and Eve, we saw that sin soon entered in and the first murder took place. And we see throughout all of that early time that we had not a community, we had anarchy. We had different groups of anarchists that were meeting in different places. All of them bowing to the new god of the world, who is Satan. And we understand that Satan is the god of this world. Until God said, I can't tolerate this. This is not what I intended. And the whole world was purged with a mighty flood, and only one family, the beginning of a community, began again. And it was only a bit of season after the flood was over that sin was a big part of the picture again. God eventually called a man by the name of Abraham and said, we are going to small down everything. And instead of a church, we are going to have a people. We are going to have people. Not called from every tribe and every nation, but identified with one tribe and one nation alone. They will be my people. We will call them Jews, which means my people. And all the other people outside of the Jews, we will call them the ethnikos, those who are not a part of the people. God eventually called a man by the name of David as he became king. As the drum roll began, as we began to move closer and closer to what God's intention was, and that intention was to design a world system, a system of heaven, a kingdom. And for your understanding, I want you to understand that the word kingdom in the vocabulary of God and the word church are exactly the same. Whenever we refer to the kingdom of God, we are referring to the church. God had told Adam to leave that area, not to come back again. Things were dark. The special, unique political organization that he had designed that was going to be operated by judges did not work. And the children began to cry out for a kingdom. And God permitted them to have this kingdom. What by the name of Saul became a part of that kingdom. And yet he violated a chief principle of the kingdom. And that principle was, you are a king. You are not a priest. You are a king and not a priest. And yet Samuel, on a particular day, decided he was going to exercise his kingship, and at the same time, he was going to exercise priesthood. And Samuel, the great judge, came to him and said, you have violated a chief principle of this political organization. You have tried to be a king and a priest, and I called you to be only a king. And Samuel told him, Saul, you are going to lose this kingdom. And then there was another little shepherd boy that God called to become the king. And this king is notorious, not because of all the worlds he conquered, not because of everything he did. He is important because of his Son, who will rule and reign forever and ever. And from that day forward, the prophets began to talk about a kingdom that was coming. One of the greatest books in the Old Testament, if you have time to read it and you don't think you understand prophecies, go to the book of Isaiah and begin to read the first gospel in the Bible. As you begin to read about a son of David, as you begin to read about a Messiah, as you begin to read about one that is going to come and rule and reign forever and ever. And then the Lord turned away from the culture again. He did not speak to the nomadic group. He did not speak to his people. In fact, it's not recorded that he spoke to anyone until on a certain dark night, suddenly the stars were brighter than they've ever been before, and the heavenly hosts began to join the heavenly creation as the angelic being began to sing unto all of creation. The King of Kings has been born. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. And Jesus Christ was born. Hallelujah. I am so glad to tell you that the Son of God, Jesus, the Father incarnate, came to this world to rule and reign. Not much is known about his early childhood. Not much is known about his early adulthood. Everything of importance other than his birth is really condensed into about a 3.5-year span of time. And out of all of that, since I don't have time to give you a long story of the messianic mystery or unveiling, I will tell you one of the most important things that happened in a public park, where the Gentiles didn't go and the Jews were forbidden to go. It was a park with a memorial, an ungodly memorial, a memorial that really was meant to thumb their noses at God. It was called by the odd name Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea, named after a Caesar. Philippi, named after one of the Herods. You have a Herod who's a part of a Jewish faith that said you shall have no other gods before me. That was a part of a faith that said you worship one king and one king alone. And they came together in this unholy compromise and dedicated this national shrine to this new affiliation and to this new leadership. I'm sure the disciples had a bit of an uncanny feeling as they walked into the park that day, as they were there. And in the awkwardness, as they were there, Caesar and Philip, the two gods of this world. And Jesus said, "Who do others say that I am? Who do others say that I am?" The disciples gave some answers. Some were a little bit crude. Some of them were not filled with any understanding at all. And then Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "You got it, sir. That's exactly who I am." But I want you to understand, this is not a mystery that you have understood. This is not a great process of educational evaluation and affirmation that you have. My Father has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, there's argument on what the rock was. Some have said it is Peter. Don't have time to enter that discussion. Others have said it was his confession, which is absolutely true. Others have said that Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Notice he doesn't say he has built it. He said that he is going to build it. Upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. As he reached out and grabs a Greek word of politics, a Greek word of politics that kind of was an undercurrent word. It was the word of government by the population. It was a word that spoke that whoever was called were the only ones who could be a part of this elite operation. And Jesus said, I am going to build my church. And it's going to be a calling. I will call those that are to be a part of that church. I will select them. I will draw them in. I will draw them in. And they will become my group. They will become my kingdom. Because he had taught them how to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. And we're not praying for his kingdom to continue to come. We are as if it's something that is going to happen in apocryphal time sometime in the future. We are praying that your kingdom becomes resident. Your kingdom comes now. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I sought it through Adam and Eve. I sought it through Noah. I sought that through Abraham. I sought that through David. I sought that throughout the Old Testament. But now I'm telling you, I will build my church. And this time, you can mark it down, you can underline it, and you can declare it, whether it's in this season or another season. Whether this is the worst of seasons or the beginning of seasons, whether it is a season that seems to be a season of understanding or a season of confusion, I give you something that you can mark down and underline. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will be unable to prevail against it. The gates of hell will be unable to prevail against it. But seems as if it all came to a crash. Like some earthquake has hit a house and somebody's collection of Fabergé eggs and crystal and everything else and all of their precious statuary falls and is crushed and is broken. The darkness reminded them of the devastation. The earthquake reminded them of the traumatic devastation. And Jesus had died. But before that, as he was on the cross, he spoke sayings from the cross. And we talked about those on Good Friday. Pastor Josh gave me the opportunity to talk about the mysterious one, the one that has no understanding on the cross, the one that has no conclusion on the cross. And that is, as Jesus cried out, it is finished. What is finished? What is finished? What is finished? I put out for your consideration, your thought, and your biblical study. What was finished is that the construction on the church is now complete. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. So he said, it is finished. The church is now built. The church is now ready to be unveiled. The church is now ready to be launched. The day of Pentecost, which as Pastor Josh has said in our private conversation, so don't hold him to it, that the final message of this series is going to be on the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, when everyone was in one place, and in one mind, as Dick Foth, one of the greater ministers of all time, said, when they were all together, when they were all together and all together, a sound from heaven came as a rushing mighty wind, and the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit that had been prophesied by Jesus in the book of John and said, when I die, it's not a bad thing. When I ascend, it's not a bad thing. I'm going to the Father. And when I get there, I am going to send the Holy Spirit. And whatever I hear from the Father, I am going to share with the Holy Spirit. And He is going to share it with you. And what a glorious experience on the day of Pentecost. Created such mystery. It was not an understanding. It was still mystery until Peter finished his sermon. Until Peter finished his sermon. And he said, what are we going to do about it? And Pastor, one of the most fantastic verses that has remained hidden to me until a few days ago. On that day, the Lord added 3,000 to the church. 3,000 were added to the church. The church that He was going to build was now built and ready to reach out. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's unusual as a body of believers. And please don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that we have a revelation that no one else has ever had. I'm not saying that we are acting with a mandate and an agenda that no one else has been willing or able to act with. We are just acting in our circles of influence with an understanding. And that is to remind people of something they certainly knew on their own, but that the church, it's not a group that meets in a building. And you can't find many buildings more beautiful in our circles than this building. The stained glass behind me is beautiful. There is a cross, a lighted, handmade, gold-foiled cross that hangs to the side that I'm looking at this moment. There is a high ceiling that is even higher, that opens to the very world as the light of the world shines in and the light of the church is able to shine out. But as beautiful as the architecture is, and as lovely as the people are, we needed to be reminded of something, and this is this, that we are a church on call 24/7. We're a church on call 24/7. I was talking to a friend of mine who pastors a mega church in the D.C. area, and he shared with me last week when he gave the altar call virtually that 3,000 people responded. I was talking to another pastor who shared with me that 4,000 responded from their mega church on Easter Sunday morning, just from a message similar to this going out. Pastor Josh, I don't believe that I am mistaken when I say this. Tens of thousands of people were invited into the church last Sunday morning. And in the midst of the darkness, the light that shone through was not the darkness of Friday night, but it was the light that shone into the tomb on Easter Sunday morning as Jesus stood there. As He declared, go tell my disciples. Go tell my disciples. If we're going to be the church 24/7, we have got to be a church that is intentional. If you'd like more about that, go back to the series that was preached that ended last week. We have got to be the church that is authentic. We have got to be the church that is kind. We have got to be the church of servant leaders. And I don't think it is strange that the Bible declares that when we get to heaven eternally, and we're with God in His church eternally, that he is going to somehow, and I don't understand this. I don't understand. The Bible is silent after the book of Revelation because the Bible never intended for us to know what the new heaven and the new earth really looks like. But I do know in eternity, you and I, turn to somebody in the room with you and say, you and I. And I want them to get ready because you're about to give them an anointed blessing. If I were there, I would lay hands on you. Pastor Josh would lay hands on you. The eldership would anoint you with oil and lay hands on you. And we would tell you, you are a kingdom of priests in the society where God is sending you. You are a leader. Don't ever doubt that. You have circles of influence that I'll never be able to enter. But this church, oh, not this church, not even that church, but the church of Jesus Christ has ordained you to be a 24-hour presence in your neighborhood where you are anointing with authority and you're anointing with the priesthood anointing, of sharing with people. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you sense the shadows deepen? We do. Do you wish for hope? Do you wish for an outlet? So do we. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone worthy to remove the transgressor here? Is anyone able and worthy to unseat the authority of the devil who has had almost free reign in this universe since Eden? Is anyone worthy? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus Christ. And he has called you. And he is ordaining you. And he is challenging you to realize there is not a moment that you can be off. Because your neighborhood, your family, your culture, if it's going to be changed, demands a 24/7 person under the anointing of the Holy Spirit who can reach out. And Jesus said, when I get to the Father and I return the Holy Spirit to you, greater things will you do because I have come to you from the Father. There was a song written. We're not much into hymns. Hymns have melody lines sometimes that are a little bit complicated to sing. Sometimes we don't understand the words. And I didn't give you this word at the beginning, I give it to you at the end. This was a song that was written in the late 1800s. And it was a song that in all actuality created a couple of major denominations. And they are anchored on it. Listen to these words. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, and to one hope she presses, and every grace in dude. Though with scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. The church shall never perish. Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish, and is with her to the end. Though there be those that hate her and false sons in her pale, against the foe or traitor, she ever will prevail. And for this season, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of unseen war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious will be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, may live to serve thee. That is who you are. You're not a member of Trinity Church in the figurative sense. You're not Baptist. You're not Episcopalian. You're not Catholic. You're not Presbyterian. You're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Upon the rock he will build his church, and that's us. We have somehow got to grab on to our mandate and say, God, make me authentic. God, make me authentic. God, make me deliberate. May I be a person who's a man of my word. May I be a woman of faith. May I be an individual who is able, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to draw the hurt and hurting under the fold of the church. When my nerves are frayed and when my pocketbook is empty, when I hear the news of family members who have been sent into hospitals or maybe into eternities by this terrible virus, may I arise with a hope of healings of his in his wings, and may I stand up and may I declare, the church triumphant is alive and well. And we are going to push down strongholds. We are going to defy those that are oppressing us. But at the same time, we are going to reach out with arms of kindness. The healing in his wings have become the healings in our hands. And we reach out and touch one another in the name of Jesus. And we say, the God that I know is able to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And as a priest, I call you to be a priest. Step into your leadership and be the hands of God extended.
Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope and our faith and our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way, that you made us a kingdom of priests. Lord, that you have created and established your church, even as you said to Peter, upon this rock, upon this profession of faith, upon this truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, it is because of what you did. Because you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is upon you, upon your life, that we can place our hope, our trust, that we have been built, Lord. You have established us as your church, as your community, Lord, to reach the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is because of your power within us. So, Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in our hearts, work in our lives, Lord, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name. I want you to know that if you have been listening and you've been hearing about this message of hope, that Jesus came that Jesus came over 2,000 years ago and he brought about a new world order. He brought about an ecclesia who would establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And you're sitting there in your home and you're thinking, I sure wish that there would be some order in my home. I sure wish that there could be some order in my life. I need Jesus. I'm here to tell you, he's just one prayer away. He is right there waiting. If you will just reach up your hand right now, right where you are, and say with me, Jesus, I ask you to come and take my heart, take my life, and make it yours. I trust you. I put my hope and my trust in you. I choose to build my life upon your love. May it be so that you would take me as your own. I give myself fully to you, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, thank you that you are forgiving me of my sins and that you are cleansing me from all unrighteousness. If you pray that prayer, I want you to know that Jesus is taking control of your life and he is bringing the chaos into order. I want you to tell you, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the church, the ecclesia, the ones who are called, the ones who are sent, the ones who are called to be the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Would you let us know that you made that choice? Would you let us know that you made that decision? Would you be sure to send us a message there in Facebook or on YouTube or wherever you are watching right now? And please let us know so that we can come into agreement with you and to prayer with you. We'd love to send you more information and connect with you. We are so thankful that you tuned in today. I want to pray a prayer of blessing over every single person that's watching right now. Would you just lift your hands right where you are? Lord, I ask that you would bless, that you would keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us, that you would be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us, and that you would give us your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. May it be so, O God, that it would be in our hearts, that it would be in our homes. Lord, that it would fill this world. Lord, fill this world with your peace. Fill this world with your love. Thank you, O God, that you are using us to share your goodness, to share your love to the world around us. Lord, we thank you for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being with us this week. If you were blessed by this message, be sure to share it. Be sure to connect with us in all the ways that are available to you. I want you to know that we are here for you. If you would like to make a phone call, if you would like to speak to someone, we are here to share and to minister to you. We want you to know that we love you and we miss you. We really miss seeing you here, but we know that God is going to allow us to be together soon. Keep praying for one another. Keep praying for us and keep continuing to stay connected. This next message Sunday is going to be titled Stronger Together. Stronger Together, because we are stronger together. I ask that you would tune in, that you would be sure to connect with us next week as we continue this series on the church, the 24/7 church. This is exactly what God has called us to be. I encourage you to continue to get connected with Jesus. Listen, go back, listen, pray, worship, and allow Jesus to fill your hearts and your homes. Be blessed, have a blessed week, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much. And be sure to subscribe to the new channel, the 24/7 Media, in Jesus' name. God bless.